There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite!
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
He had ate too many babies.
That's right. That's right. He ate a bad baby is what happened.
Yeah, you don't want to eat the bad ones. That's right. He probably ignored that warning. He says raw or undercooked baby.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect. Yeah.
Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth.
Whee!
I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
That must be Jeremiah with the shoes on.
That train is off the tracks.
Who doesn't love the bounty castle?
Hitler. Just prepare to... just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacer fans. You are listening to The Unbeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast. Today is March 22nd. 2015, and this is episode 109, coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're talking about the games against the Raptors, Bulls, Cavaliers, and the Brooklyn Nets. Joining me are two of our three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacer fans? It is a beautiful day in the district. Spring has sprung. The trees are buying in. That's when you know it's really happening. And a special shout out to the Xavier Musketeers, who advanced to the Sweet 16 this weekend in the NCAA tournament.
Congrats.
Pretty good for a team I didn't think had any business being in the tournament at all. So, goes to show you what I know.
Spring has certainly sprung, and if I sound a little funny, apparently my allergies hate me, and they hate the new weather. But you weather on, right? From Indianapolis, Indiana, he's our in-house bartender, mixing up the drinks and the crappy jingles, John Colson.
What is up, Pacer Nation? A little bit of an apology to my father. Did not give him a shout out last week, and it was his 70th birthday on St. Patrick's Day.
Woo! Ooh. Happy birthday!
Yeah. So slightly belated shout out, and these things just move so fast. Just pods for days, my birthdays for days. I don't know. And then also, I don't know if anybody else's bracket is still going, but all three of mine have been burned. So, but I'm having fun. It's always great fun to watch the kids play hard. So.
I watched a little bit of the Butler-Notre Dame game last night. Saw Notre Dame take down the Bulldogs in overtime. You get the Indiana teams coming up against each other. But I still got Kentucky. Kentucky all the way. I don't like them, but I think they're going to win.
I mean, do you not like them because they're dominant? Because they're kind of... They're just all 6'10", and they're all going to the NBA, and you should probably learn to like them now.
It's because they're directly south of the Ohio River. I don't know any of those people.
Don't associate with them types.
Well, they're all going to be over the river here shortly when we host the Final Four.
I think I'm going to be actually working maybe at downtown for the Final Four.
You should probably make some money.
I hope so. Got to sling some booze.
Yeah.
But Well, you guys, actually, speaking of slinging booze, I don't know if I'm back on or off or whatever, but the wagon, but I've got a drink this week.
What is that?
Sweet.
It's,
is that Slurm?
No, it's not Slurm. It's whiskey and soda.
Oh, nice.
It's
little granddad fizzy pop.
Yeah, granddad fizzy pop. I like it. It's delicious. It's, the weather's getting a little warmer. It's time to enjoy a little basketball, a little booze. What's good out east, Jason?
I wanted to highlight two beers actually this week. So I just finished off an Anchor Steam Saison, their spring ale. Very tasty to my palate. Everything out of Anchor Brewery in San Francisco I love. And then the other, I had to get this. First of all, because it's from one of my favorite breweries that I can never get out here. It's from Green Flash, which is in San Diego, I think. But I saw this at my local liquor store, and it's called the Palate Wrecker. The Imperial India Pale Ale. It's hop forward and aggressive, and it is... Oh, it is wrecking my palate.
It's not allowed to be tasty to your palate if it's palate wrecker.
It's super duper hoppy. I mean, I like it, but yeah.
Wow. Colson, what are you drinking downtown?
I am enjoying a Miller High Life as well as a little Evan Williams on the rocks.
Nice.
Sounds good.
Is that the non-charcoal filtered?
No, it's the charcoal. Yeah, I guess it hasn't changed since last week. I haven't had time to get to the store. All I do is work.
Just buy in bulk. You don't have to worry about it.
That's right. That's right. So I'm stocked up on High Life and Evan Williams for the rest of spring. Don't you worry.
That's a lot of High Life in Evan Williams. Yeah,
I know you all were worried. You were concerned about me, don't you worry.
Because spring just started.
I know.
So
I'll be fine.
Well, let's talk some basketball, gentlemen. Four games this week. First one, Monday, March 16th. Toronto Raptors head to Indiana. And they put the Pacers down 117-98. George Hill had a pretty good game, 23 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. Kyle Lowry has a triple-double, though, and leads the Raptors. And game was close until the fourth quarter, and Toronto just executed better coming down the stretch. Kind of disappointing after the loss after Boston. Toronto's one of the better teams in the East, so it would have been nice to get a good win over one of the better teams, but... That did not happen.
Yeah, and especially disappointing. They'd been in a slide of late, losing, I think, 6 of their previous 8 or something. They certainly did not look like it on that night. No. Kyle Lowry came out very aggressive, ended up with 20 for the night. DeRozan making crazy fadeaway jump shots. And Lou Williams off the bench doing his best Rodney Buckets impression and just filling it up. I think he had a season high this night.
Well, and he out-dueled Rodney Buckets. Stuckey's been playing great and continued to play great in this game. 20 points, 4 assists, but Lou Williams, 24. So, not that 4 points was the difference in the game, but definitely won that matchup.
I felt like we just ran into a much better team. They were playing with a much higher level of intensity sort of an activity sort of the entire game. I don't know if you felt the same way, but I felt like Hibbert was getting outworked by Valanciunas. Felt like David West looked like he was in a fog. Kind of George Hill was the only guy, being aggressive.
Yeah.
And that's not a recipe for success.
Yeah, totally agreed. It was disappointing because you felt like you lose the Boston game, you're gonna have to win a couple of against teams that have better records to kind of catch up on that loss to, on this, you know, down the stretch here. You know, it's at home. Toronto's been in a slide. You really think you want to put something together. And you're right. We didn't come out and try to hit them first. You know, we let them kind of dictate the physicality and, yeah, I mean, close throughout, but I agree with you that the energy was on their side.
I mean, and these things we're talking about are reflected in statistics. Like they outboarded us by 51-36, which just doesn't happen to the Pacers very often.
Yeah.
And they also got to the free throw line way more, 33 versus 25 times. But I think early in the game, it was even more, like at halftime, I think it was 19-2 or something like that. Is this that game? Or maybe it's the Chicago game I'm thinking of. But either way, not a great effort coming off a loss.
Also, this is one of those CJ Miles, I know you're a shooter, but maybe you should stop shooting this game. 1-7 from the range. Ended up being 2-19 overall as a team. My goodness.
Yeah, it's tough to win when you're
shooting
10% from three-point land.
Yeah.
Second game this week, Pacers travel to Chicago to take on the Bulls. And the Bulls win this one 103-86. Big player this night, Nikola Mirotic. The guy was kind of doing whatever he wanted. You know, he's a rookie, older rookie, but he's a rookie. And he's turning into something pretty good. I got to watch him a lot during the Rising Stars game. And a big guy that is much more athletic than he looks, I feel. And Solomon Hill was the leading scorer for the Pacers, 13 points, 6 rebounds. But, you know, you don't want to lose to the Bulls. You know, they were missing plenty of players. And Pacers were basically full strength.
Well, you don't want Solomon Hill to really ever be your leading scorer.
Nope.
That's not a recipe for success. And what is it with the Bulls? I feel like every time we play the Bulls, some dude that we've never, that you don't game plan for, has a huge game against us. I think the last time it was Doug McBuckets, like all of a sudden just went crazy. And then this game, Mirotic. God, I hate those guys so much.
Yeah.
Well, you only dressed 15 guys, right? Let's just do a little bit more research. Watch a little bit more tape, and we'll be good, right?
Sure.
So I was working during this game, but I didn't get exactly all the plays. But what I kept noticing is how miserable our offense seemed, and I know that that is a direct correlation with how good Chicago's defense is. But I mean, we would just empty possession after empty possession, not moving the basketball. You know, getting contested jumpers. It was ugly, and yeah, it's reflected in the numbers here. We didn't shoot 40%. You know, and you're right. This is a game, again, you need to pick up if you want to make the playoffs. They're without their two best players. You know, let's go into Chicago and win this game. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe this wasn't an energy and effort. Maybe this was just Chicago's D, but, I mean, they kind of shellacked us.
Well, and what's disappointing was it was their second unit that killed us.
Yeah.
And typically this season, our second unit has been a strength. But for some reason, this game and also the two prior games against Boston and Toronto, the second unit kind of let us down a little bit. That being said, again, it was an effort thing for me. Again, the Pacers get outboarded 52-38 in this one. Yeah, which is just brutal, you know. On the bright side, we've been taking care of the ball lately, so we're not giving free points, but certainly giving up a lot of O boards, it seems.
It is 9 turnovers this game, which is, you know.
That's great.
You're going to be happy about that.
Oh, yeah.
But you're not happy with the loss, I believe.
Not at all.
So that takes us to Friday night. Pacers take on Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James. LeBron was sick this game, but still didn't stop him from scoring 29 points and getting 7 boards, 5 assists. And the Cavs took down the Pacers 95-92. This game was actually close late. They actually did have a shot to tie it at the end of the game. That shot was not good and was never going to go. But they did have possession. Roy Hibbert comes up big. Yeah, I think Roy tends to come up big most of the times the Pacers will play the Cavs, or at least LeBron. Another pretty good foul that he gave Mr. James. But, oh man, this is just continuing the slide that the Pacers have been on. And another, did you guys see David West sprint off during the middle of the game?
No, but he didn't come back.
No. This was like the possession that they blew the whistle to stop the play for whatever reason, and he just trots like to the bench, like past the bench into the locker room, and doesn't return. And you know the announcers are like, well, he's not limping. We'll get a report on that one. And they said illness, which means he was probably on the toilet.
He had ate too many babies.
That's right. That's right. He ate a bad baby is what happened.
Yeah, you don't want to eat the bad ones. That's right. He probably ignored that warning. He says raw or undercooked baby.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, dear.
You got to watch out for baby poisoning. That's right. Thank you. But Louis Scola, I thought, filled in admirably in his absence. Played right. Awesome Louis Scola ball. Got himself a double-double. This game I thought was super competitive. I was really proud of the way the guys played. Cleveland's clearly a really, really good basketball team. And we were with them till the end.
They in their house, right?
The best basketball player on the planet. Yeah. Doing amazing things. So, tough loss. Obviously, this time of the year, you can't have moral victories, but this was at least a turn in the right direction, I thought.
No, yeah, this is the only bright spot in the week. I mean, if this had been surrounded by, you know, a victory or two, I'd feel really good about this game. Mm-hmm. Nice to be competitive against one of the best teams in the East. I mean, potentially the team that comes out of the East, you know, in their house. It's just, you're right, moral victories are no good when you have some bad losses earlier.
So I want to ask you guys, on the Pacers broadcast, did it seem like a really enthusiastic and energetic crowd, or kind of like a playoff atmosphere to you guys, or no?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I don't, a little bit. Okay. I think they're pretty excited.
I got the Cleveland announcers, and I don't know if it's the way they mic it up or just the announcers themselves are super enthusiastic. Anytime the Cavs like score a bucket, they're like, oh, going crazy. Like Della Dova does a under the basket thing, and they're like,
yeah,
almost losing their mind. And it sounds like the crowd is going insane. I just didn't know if it was like there in the way that they were pitching the game or.
You'll need to remember that there's not been good basketball in that city for a long time.
Yeah.
That's right. Good call.
These people are starved for basketball, right? So they're just going to freak out at any basket.
Sure. Well, and they still do the thing before every game. They have the laser light show on the court where the court moves, you know,
yeah, that's
and
pretty
stuff
awesome.
Like that. Which most teams do for, like, the home opener. But I guess the Cavs do it for every home game to get the crowd hype. Or maybe just when the Pacers come to town, because it's such a huge matchup.
Anything else about this game, guys?
Nope. Just look forward to that for when we play them in the first round of the playoffs, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. This is definitely looking like that if we can make the playoffs.
You got to get there first.
That's right.
Saturday night, Pacers finish the back-to-back, coming home to Indy. Playing the Brooklyn Nets, who have sort of looked like they were going to drop off the face of the earth. But they still beat the Pacers 123-111. And the shooting was, the offense was pretty great this game. Everybody was shooting well. The Nets actually shot 61% for the evening. Pacers shot 50% as well, and Pacers lose by 12 points.
So I have a couple questions. Sorry, I didn't do my research. Is 123 the most points we've given up this season? Is it the most points we've given up under Frank Vogel? I mean, that's an awful lot of points on this Pacer team.
It is a lot of points. I don't
Do you know that off the top of your head, Jason? Frank Vogel's tenure?
It's definitely the most this season.
Okay.
As I'm looking to. I don't know.
But anyway, it's one of those things where Frank Vogel teams, their identity is smash mouth, the defense. And, I mean, my goodness, the team shot 61% against us in our house. You know, that speaks to a lack of effort. I mean, teams get hot. I get that. But everybody being that hot is pretty unacceptable. I caught this game starting in the late third quarter, and maybe by then everyone was hot, but they were just hitting ridiculous stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't seem that aggressively contested, you know. It didn't seem like somebody wanted. I wanted Dave West to knock somebody down, you know. I wanted somebody to get pissed off about it, and nobody did. And they, you know, it was within range. In the last, I think we were within, you know, five with like 3 minutes to go. And you're thinking, you know, this is in range. You just got to toughen up and stop these guys. And, you know, Joe Johnson hits a big shot. They just kept hitting shots. And it's frustrating because this is a team that's not as good as us. I mean, ideally. Maybe I'm wrong. At least their record says they're not as good as us. And they're in our house. And they scored 123 points. This is really demoralizing. This is a tough week, and this is a tough way to end it, I must say.
Yeah, you can't imagine Dan Burke was too happy in the post-game locker room. And I'm sure at halftime, the thing is that it's not like this was a surprise to these guys either. I mean, Brooklyn came out on fire in the first half, and they had a chance to make adjustments, and it seemed like there was nothing different in the second half.
Right. They had, what, 63 at half, something like that?
Right, which was the second most that's been scored on the Pacers this year. So I guess they tightened it up a little bit, right?
By
like they
three
were
points.
On pace by 126.
Yeah. A little bit. Look at the season here. I looked at December 26th, Pacers gave up 119 to Detroit, and that was the second worst this year. A couple of those.
Yeah, I mean, this is a demoralizing loss when you're because I think that it was the loss to Cleveland or Chicago that dropped us out of the playoffs, basically.
Right.
So you're clearly you got to get wins against a team that's fighting for these spots with you. So this is two within a week span against teams that we are in direct competition with for these last two playoff spots that we lost. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the Boston one, we've lost the tiebreaker with them. And now Brooklyn, if we had won this game, we would have sent the tiebreaker. But now it's up for grabs when we play them again, I think, in a couple weeks or something.
In their house.
In their house.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Coulson is fire pissed.
So, okay, Harper said...
Are you reaching for panic buttons?
Well, no. So Harper a couple weeks ago said...
Coulson, they may never win again.
No, stop it. Stop it. Harper said that they would hit a rough patch, and he was interested to see how they would respond. He said he knew it was coming. And the thing is, this is it. I mean, this has to be it. If you don't respond to this, then it's a lost season. You're not making the playoffs. And on some level... If we don't respond to this, I wonder if we lose our coach, because I feel like this is a team now at this point in the season that shouldn't be losing games like this. We've got everybody back. We've got everybody healthy. Granted, we don't have Paul George, but, you know, early in the season, you could make excuses. There was a lot of injuries and stuff, But we've had time to figure out the rotation. We've got time to figure out how to get the best out of each other. And this kind of rough patch, if we don't respond from this, I think you have to start. I think if you're Larry Bird, you have to start saying, okay, the way they fell apart at the end of last year, and again, the way we're falling apart this year and not recovering. You know, why are we not playing better basketball right now? And I think that becomes a coaching question. That's how concerned I am about this swoon.
Wow, that's a heck of a turn, I guess, in a week span, a week and a half span, right?
Yeah, I was on cloud nine 2 weeks ago. You're right.
Yeah,
I agree.
Nine days ago.
Sure. But what I'm saying is, you know, two or three of these losses should not have happened. We needed to go 2-3 in this. We should have. And now, granted, it's just two games that you could have won that you lost. But now is the time to respond. And the schedule doesn't get easier. But you've got to win at least half of your games, you know, at this point. We're good enough to play 500 ball. We have the guys on our team. These guys are professionals. This team minus Paul George went to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. Why are we not playing 500 basketball? That's all I'm wondering.
Right. So we've got 13 games left. Is that right? Yeah. So if we go 7-6, that puts us at 37 wins. Is that right?
Yeah.
37-45.
Sounds about right.
Which is close to a playoff spot, I would think. But that's over 500 ball.
Yeah.
And you're right. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think this is why Harper and I were both a little bit reticent to get too excited about the prospects of this team making the playoffs because, you know, they went through a patch of really good ball, but the schedule was going to get tougher.
Sure. And yeah, we were playing against teams that weren't that good at the time, you know.
Right. But you're right. Now it's time to show the mettle. Now, I don't think there's any way in hell that Frank Vogel loses his job.
Based off this year because he was down Paul George?
Correct. And I think that was the agreement that they made prior to the season. I mean, they extended him going into the season.
No, I agree.
So I think that's outrageous, but...
But you see where I'm going over there. I mean, you know, on some level, we're starting to see a pattern. Like, I don't know. I think Frank Vogel is a fantastic coach. I mean, I think he's one of the bright young minds in basketball. And up until halfway through last year, I would say he was the best motivator in the game, you know, maybe outside of Mark Jackson. And then, but now, you know, he lost control of that locker room last year, you know, and
indeed,
he's having trouble keeping these guys focused, keeping these guys with the eyes on the prize. Everybody's healthy. Why are we not playing better? David West looks, you know, for stretches, unfocused. Hibbert didn't take the opportunity to sees this, you know, a chance to be more of an offensive player. I don't know that it's not that he's not capable of it. I just don't know that he cares. I don't know why these guys don't care. Rodney Buckets is fantastic. George Hill has played great. But I think they would have played great anyway, you know.
Well, I really thought that at the beginning of the Brooklyn game, I was actually pretty excited because of the way that David West came out of the gates. I mean, the very first play, he makes an effort play to knock the ball out of bounds, basically on a lazy pass, and then a couple other early plays where he's kind of setting the tone that we're going to work hard this game, right?
Mm-hmm.
But none of the other guys really necessarily followed his lead, right? As evidenced by them shooting 61%, right?
Right.
So I guess my question is the crisis of leadership not so much in the position of Frank Vogel, but it's on the floor. It's who is the leader of this team, I guess. And, you know, whose lead are they following every game? Right? Because I don't get the sense that David West is our leader anymore.
Well, yeah, it used to be, right? When he came to the team, he took control of the culture. He took control of the leadership. Everybody, you know, came to him. But you're right. Last year, wasn't he spending his whole year transferring that to Paul George? Wasn't that what he did? Wasn't that the goal as a leader, to transfer it to the best player?
Right.
I'm giving this to Paul George. Paul George didn't know exactly necessarily handle that. He had, you know, young kid with a lot of money and a lot of stuff going on. But for better or for worse, he ends up with that responsibility. And now he's not on the team. I mean, he's on the team, but he's not on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, he's been sitting around with his legs propped up playing Xbox, you know? Like,
right. Yeah, exactly.
You're not going to respect that.
That's right. You know, and you want George Hill to be that, but, you know, I don't know that he is that.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, and that being said, yeah, I didn't feel like the guys were lollygagging out there against Brooklyn.
No, yeah. No, without a doubt. But I mean,
I just felt like we haven't seen that, like, clearly this week the deficit has been on the defensive end of the floor.
Right.
Which is atypical of a Frank Vogel Pacers team.
I just wanted somebody to get pissed off. You know, I just wanted somebody to be like, you know what? This is we're done letting this happen. Because we have the ability to do that. We have the ability to shut teams down. And, you know, it's just not coming out. And I don't want to hit too many panic buttons. Although, like I said, if we don't turn this around and turn it around immediately, we're not making the playoffs. And, you know, I think on some level, Frank Vogel's putting himself on a hot seat with or without Paul George. Because this team should be better right now than it is.
How many panic buttons do you have?
I have lots of them. They're all on this desk.
Is it like Mission Control where they have like the switches and then the covers on the switch?
It is. They all make different noises, the panic buttons.
Do you need two keys?
Yes, I was gonna say. You need two.
That's not the panic button. That's the happy button.
If that's not the panic button, you're in good shape, man.
There it is.
That's the panic button. Yeah. I hit the excitement button accidentally. They're all next to each other, all the buttons.
No, yeah, who's got the second key when things are going down, when it's getting real?
One of you guys, right? I hope so.
I put it in my safe deposit box.
I think my dog ate it.
I mean, so is Paul George actually coming back, or is he not? I mean, is he coming to save Frank Vogel's job? What's going on?
Well, I think we established the fact that Frank Vogel's not losing his job, even though you keep saying he's in the hot seat that he can't lose
that
his
I
job.
I created a hot seat for Frank Vogel.
And he has no risk.
Okay.
But he should still be worried about that.
He just, he's got a good contract, so he gets seat warmers in his car.
Exactly.
If you want to call that the hot seat, you can call that the hot seat.
I call it a nice benefit in the winter.
Sure. Right, so yeah, so last week we had a long conversation about how sad we were that Candace Buckner basically says that Paul George is a shell of himself and never coming back. But now, of course, we are wrong.
Oh, or Candace Buckner's wrong.
No, Candace Buckner's never wrong.
She's never wrong, you're right, we're wrong.
She was trying to moderate the expectations of Pacer Nation, I think. And now there's these rumors that Paul George is coming back within a week or so. I don't know. Frank Vogel won't say. Nobody will say. But multiple sources told ESPN that he's coming back within a week. So that could change everything for the better or the worse, right?
Right.
It could be that this team gets re-energized with Paul George there in uniform. Or he messes up whatever lack of chemistry they have, and he can't play any defense because he doesn't trust his leg.
Right.
And we still lose by 10 or 20 to the Brooklyn Nets of the world. I don't know, man. I just want him to come back and play so that my emotions stop getting played with.
Well, you made a fantastic point a couple weeks ago, which was that if he doesn't come back at the end of the season, he'll have an off season to worry and think about whether he can actually play in real competition. And then it's going to take him, you know, the first fourth of next season to get that under his, you know, or whatever, you know, to get comfortable and confident. Let's just get him out there. Let's get him, you know, used to the competition and so that he can see what he needs to do in the off season to be back where he was. I think that's a fantastic point. And I'm all in. So I hope he comes back this week, whether it's good for our chemistry or not. He is the franchise. And so whatever that does to this season is better for the long run.
All right. Well, if he comes back this week, I would think that he would debut in a home game, right?
I think so, right?
Would he want to do that on national TV as well?
Oh, he might want to.
Understanding his brand and all this?
Sure.
Wants to promote those new era line of caps that he's got? Well, he's got a chance. Monday, March 23rd, hosting the Houston Rockets and his good buddy James Harden.
Who was there when he was trying to block his shot? Oh, the symmetry! Like, the symmetry is so good.
It all comes full circle.
Oh, it does.
Oh, yeah.
On NBA TV. Oh. Yeah,
he was the one that PG was trying to block, right?
Yep.
This is correct.
Yeah, this is all the storylines are there. This is definitely happening. I love it. I'm in.
So you think he's going to start and he's going to guard James Harden all night?
So you did mean to hit the enthusiasm button.
Yes, earlier. That's right. Woohoo!
So that's Monday. Joey, you should be in the house for that game.
Yeah, I should probably go.
And then Wednesday, March 25th, traveling to the nation's capital to face the Washington Wizards.
You guys playing better yet?
I don't know. I haven't been paying attention to the Wizards lately.
I don't think you're playing better yet. I think it's kind of rough out there.
I think you're correct. So that's a winnable game for the Pacers, for sure.
Let's do it.
Are your judgmental eyes going to be watching that game?
Unfortunately, I can't. I'm leaving for a conference on Tuesday, so I can't.
Boo, conferences.
I know. It's all these science conferences.
I'm pissed, but...
God, you guys have the internet. Just
you nerds talk way too much to each other.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can't get the beauty of nerdy nasal conversation over the internet the way you can in person.
Just use Skype. It works for us.
but the sort of sweaty nervousness and awkwardness doesn't come through fully.
Sure.
You got to be there in person for that. Washington has lost two straight, but they've won six of their last 10. They're fully healthy, though, I think. So this is actually a good matchup for the Pacers, I think. You know, they play sort of a similar style of basketball with their bigs and whatnot. So it should be a good game. And they hate us because we knocked them out of the playoffs last year. So.
That's right.
And rightfully so.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that about wraps it up, you think?
Yeah.
That's good for this week.
Yeah. Does anybody else miss Harper, or is it just me?
No, I miss him, too. Hopefully, we'll have him next week. Or next episode. You never know.
That'd be great. I'd bet heavily against it.
We might have more conversations about John's top 25 in Thursday's show. God. You never know.
I would bet heavily for it.
Might have us Joey Stat of the Week. Tune in.
No comment.
We might press more panic buttons. Who knows? No,
we definitely
will. I bet it all. I'm all in. Well, until then, you can find us on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. We're on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. The website is TheUndebeatables.com. There's a contact form there if you'd like to get in touch with us. You can review us on iTunes. It really, really helps new listeners find our show. And we have t-shirts for sale. You can look swaggy in the blue shirts. I'll tell you what, those are nice, comfy American Apparel shirts. I think they look great.
Indeed. And winner of our... bracket tournament challenge thing wins a t-shirt.
Have you already figured out who the winner is?
Too late for anybody to sign up. But
did everybody's bracket already blow up and there's only one person left?
I haven't checked because I know mine is destroyed.
The Vakaitises, I think, are winning that one too, just like they won our Undebeated Cup.
Sweet. Can you make a ugly trophy?
Sure.
To replace the ugly trophy that's going to be leaving their residence soon.
Give him $15 and a bus ticket to a
to Value Village.
To Value Village, and you got yourself a trophy and some glitter. You got to get new glitter. You can't buy used glitter, you know.
Sure.
Once and always coach, Bobby Slick Leonard. Turn out the lights. The party's over. Yeah.
That's good for this week.
Yeah.
For this
episode. Does anybody else miss Harper, or is it just me?
No, I miss him, too. Hopefully we'll have him next week. Or next episode. You never know.
That'd be great. I'd bet heavily against it.
Cabela's is coming to Northern Virginia with a spectacular new store in Gainesville. Find everything you need for hunting, fishing, camping, and shooting sports, plus much more. Join us for our grand opening celebration Thursday, March 9th at 10 a.m. Be one of the first 500 in line and receive a Cabela's gift card worth up to $500, plus a chance to win one of three Remington firearms. See store for details. Don't miss Cabela's grand opening in Gainesville, located off I-66 and Highway 29 near Virginia Gateway.